And Stevie Wonderboy won it by a length. And a comeback kid, Garrett Gomez, with a come-from-behind Colt in Stevie Wonderboy. They have won it. The final 16th, the one is set up. Artie Schuller's right on top of him. And Artie Schuller's in front. Gorilla comes up the inside and Whipper. Artie Schuller won.
With a 16th to go, she's getting weary now, but she's entitled to get weary. Indian Blessing, far too good in the Breeders' Cup juvenile filling, wins it easy.
But what a scintillating performance from Ventura and Garrett Gomez, unbeatable on the day. Albertus Maximus, is he going to get their rebellion? Two-step salsa, they hit the wire. Albertus Maximus has won the mile, and what a magnificent back-to-back winner of the sprint. Midnight Luke could not have been more impressive. He wins with his ears pricked in the end. Midshipman's holding him at bay, and Midshipman's coming home to win it, and Midshipman wins it a length and a half, and its life is sweet, and Garrett Gomez annihilating them in the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic. But it is still more than real, and it's going to be more than real, and Garrett Gomez to score convincingly. Pluck looking like he just jumped in at the corner pole, and Pluck from last to first, winning it in a canter. Pluck and Garrett Gomez have taken the juvenile on the turf. Play, Zenyatta, 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 and flying flame, trying to hold on, flame, and Zenyatta, the lane has won it ahead.
The Beholder on the inside holding on. Beholder's going to go all the way, and Beholder and Garrett Gomez have won the Breeders' Cup juvenile finish.
13 Breeders' Cup victories for jockey Garrett Gomez, who, as we told you, was found dead at the age of 44 this past week. And Garrett, a winner of 3,769 races in a career that was cut short far too soon. And we welcome you back to the Equine Forum here on HRN. Great job by Lee Delapina, our producer, putting that piece together for you. A look back at all 13 Breeders' Cup victories by jockey Garrett Gomez. And JT, we're going to be joined here momentarily by Ron Anderson, his longtime agent. And you think back on Garrett and his life and his career, but boy, when he was clicking, he was as good as anybody out there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's been a lot of water under the bridge since Garrett last rode. And you kind of, sometimes in our business, it's a business of what have you done for me lately, but you listen to that and it's just amazing and brought back so many memories to me. And you don't even think about Garrett Gomez winning 13 Breeders' Cup races. I mean, that's a tremendous amount. And just very sad that he wasn't able to sustain his career and that he passed away this week.
Well, Ronnie, I know that for you it's been an extremely difficult time, and rightfully so. For so many people in the sport of thoroughbred racing, they've had a difficult time dealing with this sudden loss. And as Jude just said, very, very sad. I don't know if there's any way to put it other than that. Just a very, very sad occurrence.
Yeah, guys, you know, we all have our ups and our downs in this business, and there's, you know, days, you guys know, when you have a good day and you cash a bet or you hit a pick three or whatever, and that's a good day, and you have to deal with the bad days too. But this has been a rough few days for me. Just, you know, when you start reflecting and you realize first what a good guy he was, and how he appreciated all the horses and all the people that he dealt with. And at the end of the day, you know, I could tell everybody, I was involved with Chris Antley too, as we all know, had the same, I guess, demons or whatever you call it, and his life ended early too. But they, I believe they really liked and loved everybody. And at the end of the day, they just kind of didn't care for themselves for some odd reason. And, you know, even going back with Eddie Gregson, was a great friend of mine who died tragically too. I kind of think at the end of the day, they never dealt with a lot of problems that they had early maybe in life, and it's just very tragic. I mean, you look back and I reflect those replays that you just brought up, bring back so many memories. I mean, I worked for 5 years. 10 of those 13 Breeders' Cups were with me. It was the most amazing run maybe ever. He did $100 million, I think, in 5 years. He won 294 stakes, 59 stakes a year for 5 years. And at the end of the day, he was just such a good guy and a talent like I honestly believe he will be one of the greatest ever. He was that good. Just a sad story, though. You know, to reach out to people there, you know, I was involved with Jerry Bailey, obviously, before Garrett. And the one thing I'd like to maybe, you know, positive to come out of all this, if anybody's friends are having problems with this type of dependency and substance abuse or alcoholism, the only thing I could tell people is if it's you or somebody else's, the meetings seem to be the key to everything. And Garrett went to meetings regularly, and Jerry Bailey still goes to this day, not every week. He goes periodically. He sponsors people. And I think it's something that if you keep on top of it, you can curb it and you can you know, survive and thrive. A number of years ago, kind of a story that sits in my mind with Steve Ortmeier. Steve Ortmeier was with the Raiders, I mean, many, many years ago. And you guys in Lexington know Steve because he ended up coaching at the UK here, and now he's retired. I think he does radio work there and stuff. But I called him one day when P-Val was having problems because Jerry and Gordo was friendly with me. And I said, Steve, you know, what could the... He said, we have the same problem on this team. People don't know it. But these kids that have the problem, we test them every day, and they go to meetings, and we, you know, we take care of them. And I just hope maybe something positive can come out of this, because 44 years old is just, it's just mind-boggling that somebody could pass at that age and have so much, you know, to look forward to. His daughter Amanda is a huge, huge showgirl at this point. She's doing really well in the shows. And, you know, I reached out to him at one point and said, look, if you'd like to be a jocks agent, you know, I could show you what to do here. And I think there was a small chance, and I know this through a friend, that at some point he was going to maybe try and make a comeback. It's just so tragic. It's a sad, sad story. Very sad.
Yeah, well, he was, you know, a great writer, obviously, but I think a lot of people are learning now what a tremendous guy he was. I mean, what a cool guy, and how he touched so many people. You know, he didn't care if you were a hot walker or a Hall of Fame trainer. You got attention from him. He talked to everybody. He was, you know, very gracious with his time. He was always great with us at HRRN. You know, no matter any hour of the day or night, if you wanted him to come on early in the morning and he was in California, he didn't care. He'd get up and do it. You know, he was just a really gracious human being, and you know, dashingly handsome, and just an amazing guy. And it's really tough to deal with. We had Anthony Margotta on our Trainer Talk show, and we've also had him on a couple times in the afternoon. And he's a guy that had a lot of demons and was really he lost everything at one point. And now he's very proactive on the backside. He trains out of Monmouth Park most of the time. But he's somebody that he has encouraged our listeners and other people to reach out to him. He's very easy to get a hold of. If anybody needs his phone number or is interested in, you know, getting involved in meetings or whatever, he takes people under his wing all the time. And I was meeting with him this summer at Monmouth, and that day he was taking a groom to a meeting for the first time, and he was so excited about it. And he's very proactive with this. So there's another avenue that if somebody wants, you know, to reach out and they don't want to, you know, do anything public or whatever, he's willing to help whoever comes his way. And there's a lot of people on the backside that are active in that and want to see people get the help that they need.
Oh, I didn't realize that about Anthony, and I commend him for all that. That's the type of thing that, you know, when these people are like this, they need help, and they need, you know, they need somebody to lean on, and they need somebody to listen to them. And like I, you know, I've referred Jerry to even my family members, one of my family members in particular, to just speak to, because they speak the language. They know what to say to them. They know how to, you know, nurture them and bring them along. And, you know, maybe some one of your listeners or somebody out there is listening, and this maybe clicks, and maybe they try and get help, because there's lots of people that have problems and all. It's just very sad, you know, the years that he rode. I mean, I had Gary Stevens for 10 years, Chris Antley for 5 years off and on, and Garrett for five years, actually. He had the most amazing run of maybe all of them. I mean, he led the nation 4 years. He was fourth the last year, and only was beaten, like, I think, 1.2 million by Ramon in money. And Ramon rode like 650 horses more. Just, you know what? I reflect after all this time, you know, when people pass away, you know, loved ones or family members and stuff, I tell people, stuff runs through your mind that you never thought of or never recalled until that moment. And I started thinking of just, you know, all the stories, and the blame story is a classic, of breaking his shoulder 2 days before and being able to ride the horse and thinking all throughout the day of Breeders' Cup that he was going to maybe have to take off. And, you know, all the you know, Nancy and I were chuckling last night over his amazing, he had this amazing laugh to him and this amazing giggle. And Nance tells stories about when we lived together, especially 1 year at Saratoga, with 6 days of racing. You know, I didn't bring him out all the time. He reduced and stuff, so he didn't come out every single morning. So she would be at home with him, and he used to love to watch cartoons. And he would put the TV on and watch these cartoons, and he would laugh. And Nance got the biggest kick out of his, just his infectious giggle and his infectious laugh. And such a beautiful person. And, you know, at the end of the day, I've told more than one person, probably you've seen it in print here the last 4 days, like with Chris, and he just didn't love himself for some reason. And it's just so, so sad.
Talking with Ron Anderson, longtime agent for jockey Garrett Gomez here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Ronnie, I'm glad you brought up the story of him watching cartoons and laughing and that giggle that he had. I remember it quite vividly. And that was one of the things that I loved so much about Garrett Gomez, was that childlike enthusiasm that he always brought to the table. And from the minute that I met him when we first started HRN and started asking jockeys to do interviews and things like that with us, he was front and center. He was always somebody that had the time for you, no matter how busy he was. He always made the time for us if he was going to be busy. And I respect the heck out of Garrett Gomez for that, and he's definitely going to be missed. You know, you mentioned being around guys like Jerry Bailey and some of the greats, and Chris Antley and Gary Stevens. Well, in 2007, Garrett broke Jerry's record for most stakes victories in a season. He won 76 races that year. What is it that made Garrett such a good rider, if you could put your finger on one thing?
Well, I can't really put my finger on one thing, but, you know, if you go on the internet and look up pictures of him, the one thing that Nance and I remembered last night was he had an intensity about him that was, you can see it in his look. He was a very intense competitor, as they all are. And at this point, I tell people, and you guys understand this, and Jude's been a trainer, he knows, the really elite riders like Garrett was, they have what I call a sixth sense. It's like a baseball player that can hit a baseball. There's a sixth sense for hitting the ball, and there's a sixth sense for riding, of which they're in tune with everything about the horse, everything about the race. You know, like Garrett says, he started riding when he was very, very young, and they just have a feel and a knack for the horse and the race and how to break the race down. And, you know, Jerry used to tell stories about he thought riders had tendencies to do almost the same thing lots of times. And he studied riders to know that, you know, one guy moves here and one guy moves there and one guy puts the stick in his left hand and a horse has a tendency to come out. And Garrett was in tune with all that. I mean, he was, you guys watch races. You study, you understand. This guy was magical. He was magical. Horses ran for him. He could take horses that didn't want to run, that horses that would show speed and stop, and he could get them to settle. And as far as somebody that could finish, I mean, I'm working for Joel Rosario, who is one of the, I've had more people tell me he reminds them of Lafitte, who Jude understands. In our day, Lafitte was like here, and everybody else was down there, especially finishing on a horse. Joel's basically in the same. Garrett was a freaky finisher on a horse. He could really finish. So all these things rolled into one, made him win 13 Breeders' Cups and win, you know, lead the country when he did. And he just, and then at the end of the day, you know, lots of people with lots of athletes, at the end of the day, they're pointing at themselves in the mirror. You know, it's all about me. It's all about me. It's me. He had none of that. So also like that too. It's more about everybody. It's not about them. It's about the horses and the grooms and the gallop people and the appreciation of all the hard work. They sit on a horse for, you know, 10 minutes and get paid. And some of these grooms and stuff work for months and months and months at nurturing a horse and fixing their problems and a trainer fixing their problem. He knew at the end of the day it wasn't all about him, and he was very gracious. And, you know, you're not the first person that told me this week that he was the best interview or the most gracious and time-accommodating person ever. He would stop everything to go ahead and do an interview with you guys. Or, you know, Claire was one of his favorite reporters, and he would stop in the middle of his meal to give Claire, you know, an interview. He was just different, you know. It's very different, very sad, and he was very different.
Yeah, very sad. Garrett Gomez, of course, going to be missed not only in the saddle, but maybe even more so as a person in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Ron Anderson is longtime agent with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ronnie, I know how difficult this is for you. Really appreciate you coming on, taking a few minutes to look back on the person and on the career of Garrett Gomez. And anything we can do to help, please let us know. And our thoughts and our prayers with you, your family, and certainly with Garrett's family as well.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much, Mike.